Hello, and welcome to another Untitled Project podcast on the College Crosscast Network. I am your host, Saif Fakadu, and my guest for the show is a good friend of the blog, Jack Goods. Jack, what's good, kid? How you doing?
I've been pretty good, glad to finally make it on to one of these podcasts.
No, I promised earlier in the season, so I was like, all right, I gotta deliver before Easter, so
Yeah.
we'll get it up. No, it was great to have you. As I always kind of joke around with, like, people, like Jim, best example, the last pod is always interesting. Going from, like, just DM conversations to, like, actually talking to someone. I mean, we spoke at the pod for the fantasy draft, but that was a lot going on that draft.
Yeah, as listeners can probably attest to.
It was like, seven people were waiting on Marissa. Like, it was great. It was fantastic.
Hopefully this will go a little more smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. So. But okay, so, like, as we always try to start with these pods, we get to, like, a get to know you section. So, Jack, let's just start with where you're from, and then where you grew up. Maybe if you moved around, so like through your high school years, so we'll go up to there right now.
Well, I've lived in the greater Buffalo area most of my life. I only left for college. So I grew up in Amherst, which is like the closest suburb to Buffalo. And I've moved a couple times houses wise, but I've always lived in Amherst. Up until 5 years ago now, I went to Milwaukee, went to Marquette University for school, and now I'm back in Buffalo. I've been working for the Buffalo News, living in Amherst again. So it's not a crazy exciting story of me moving around all that much. It's just really one big move and then coming back right where I started.
No. Well, like, so what was, like, growing up in Buffalo? Would you? Yeah, I always. I'm glad Ryan's not here. If I said it incorrectly, but is this considered upstate, or is this, like, western state? I was like, well, make sure I have that proper geography right.
It depends who you're talking to. If you're from New York City, they just refer to anything that isn't New York as upstate. But here, we consider Western New York. I'd say like Western New York from like Rochester to Buffalo, and then past Rochester, more central. But to New York, it's like, oh, it's everything else. Everything's different. But I love growing up in New York. I mean, and growing up in Buffalo, it's a great sports town, and it's a really awesome lacrosse town. I think it's a little bit of an underrated one. It doesn't produce the talent that what Baltimore or Syracuse does, but there are a lot of people who really care about lacrosse here. Every high school has a team, and it's obviously the indoor game is pretty big here with the Bandits, but on a youth level, it's all field as well. I think it gets kind of overlooked.
Oh, well, yeah, we're definitely gonna talk about Bandits in the Buffalo lacrosse area, so I'm happy, like, you brought that up. But just before we move off of this, so growing up, did you play anyone? Did you play lacrosse, or, like,
Yeah.
how? Oh.
Yeah, I did. I did. I wasn't very good though.
Oh,
So
wow.
it's
No. You got more experience than me, Chris, and like Adam put together, and Jake too. It's everyone except Ryan. I think Ryan played though.
I played as a kid. We had a youth league called ALA, the Amherst Lacrosse Association. My godfather actually, coached lacrosse and introduced me to the sport. And I started playing really young. I would have been probably 8 years old. And I played on my middle school team. I only stopped in high school. I knew I wasn't good enough. I didn't really like the fit socially with me and the guys who were on the team. So I decided I rowed in high school instead. I did crew.
Oh, wow.
So I mixed things up a little bit there. I rowed for 3.5 years.
So, may I ask what position you played? Or, I mean, why not?
I was a defender. I got a long pole.
Oh, right on. No, I love the just the image of you hitting people out there, Jack. really.
But yeah, I love playing. I love the sport. I think I've gotten more invested in the sport as I've gotten older, though. I love playing, but I really started following it maybe post-playing career.
Oh, okay. So, did you have a favorite team growing up, like college team?
No, that's I. I watch. Growing up, I really didn't watch a lot of field. I mostly was box. I started going to Bandits games. Oh no, 2005, 2006. We got season tickets a couple years after, I want to say 2007. So wow. I didn't really have a college team growing up. It's one of the reasons I'm really glad that I've got Marquette now, because I didn't really have that growing up.
That's awesome. So did your dad play in college?
No.
Oh, okay.
Would you mind if I go let my dog outside real fast?
No. We're just going to pause it, so no problems at all.
Okay.
All right. All right, and we're back. So we got to ask, what's your dog's name and what kind of dog is that?
His name is Ollie. He's a black lab. Anyone who follows me on Twitter probably sees plenty of them. But he's a pain in the butt sometimes. I'm glad that we're going to have to stop one more time probably for me to let him back in.
No, probably not.
So prepare yourself for that.
I always go with dogs for the GIF of the day on the prospectus. So, you know, we'll take time for that. So.
He's a great dog. He's our second black lab. I had one growing up, so we love having him around. But it means that sometimes the podcast gets interrupted every once in a while.
This is really interesting. Like I said, you're one of the few with an extensive lacrosse background, and you were even going to Bandits games when you were younger. So, did your high school have a team? I guess. Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to public school up until high school. So the public school program that had a team, and we're pretty proud of it, Amherst High School, and they've done pretty well in the past. Had a few guys D1 over the years, and then I went to high school at Canisius High School, one of the main Catholic schools here, Jesuit school, and they were kind of just starting up, I think they had a lacrosse program for a bit, but they were not successful until around when I left. They were coached by Joe Smith, who actually ended up playing with the Bandits a bit. I think he went to Towson, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And so he kind of put that program together, and I think now they're actually much more successful than they were when I got there and before I was there.
So did you start writing when you were in high school? Did you do like school paper?
Yeah. I mean, I was the editor of our school paper, the Citadel. And then I was like one of the main people who was working on In the Crosby Trust with Marissa. So,
oh, wow. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I was, I started early. I mean, I was covering Bandits games back then, when I was 15, 16 years old. And I did a lot of the, do you remember when every year it would be like a new box across league that would pop up?
Yeah, definitely.
So I covered... I did a lot of like NALL coverage and the PLL and all the mess that was, and that was interesting. It was cool for me because I like the idea of new franchises starting and branding and stuff like that. So it was really cool to kind of see how them build this league. It was unfortunate the league never really happened. But,
oh wow!
But yeah, I mean the NALL ended up playing one season with like half the teams they originally announced, and the PLL. Played a couple games. I don't think they even played a full season. So I guess that was kind of cool experience for a high school aspiring reporter to deal with.
No, a young gun, right on. That's awesome. No, I'm definitely really interested in this Buffalo lacrosse scene. So I can't wait to discuss that a little bit more in depth a little later. So just before we finish high school, so like, did you know instantly you want to go to Marquette, or like how did you find yourself going to Marquette?
Well, I applied to a lot of schools. I was kind of really up in the air about where I was going coming out of high school. I liked Marquette because going to a Jesuit high school was a good fit. Go to a Jesuit college. I liked the idea of Milwaukee because it was a little bit bigger than Buffalo, a little bit more to do. It wasn't like overwhelming. A couple of the other schools I looked at. It really came down to three schools for me. It came down to Marquette, Fordham, and Pitt. And Fordham, I'd never been to New York City at the time, and throwing myself in the Bronx seemed like a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Buffalo. And Pitt, I really liked, but Pitt didn't really have the comm program that I wanted. So I visited Marquette. I loved it. I just fell in love with the school, and I loved the place. I don't regret it at all. I never was unhappy there. It was just it's an awesome place, and the lacrosse team ending up being good was just like a nice bonus for me.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on a little bit to Marquette. So freshman year Marquette, what was Jack like over there? Did you go right into the wire when you got there, or did you get into that writing a little bit later?
Yeah, I actually didn't start until second semester. I'll kind of explain the student media set up at Marquette for people, I assume almost everyone listening to this isn't familiar with it. So it kind of transformed throughout my 4 years there, and it was just kind of kicking off my freshman year, where they combined all of the aspects of student media into one outlet, and they called it the Marquette Wire. So the newspaper was the Marquette Tribune, the radio station, which they changed. It had a call numbers at the start and then didn't, so it ended up just being Marquette Radio. The TV station, MUTV, and then the magazine, the Marquette Journal, and they all came together as one outlet. So by my senior year, I was the sports editor of The Wire, and that meant I was in charge of all the sports content for the four different outlets, which is a lot. You relegate. I mean, I didn't have my hands on everything all the time. So my freshman year, it hadn't gotten to that point yet. So I just applied directly to work for the newspaper. All the sports reporting openings were closed by the time that I got there. Back then, it was really hard to jump in as a freshman. It's a little easier now. So I actually started out just as a copy editor my freshman year, second semester. So I'm just, editing grapey style. And then I got a sports reporting job my sophomore year, and then I moved up assistant sports editor junior year, and then sports editor my senior year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's separate your writing from student life. What was your best moment in the Marquette athletics as a student of just going to a game? It could be basketball or lacrosse, You don't have to be covering it.
Yeah. Well, the best Marquette moment that I experienced, I was covering, and it's one of the best Marquette moments ever, probably, is my junior year. Marquette basketball upset number one Villanova on their home court, or on Marquette's home court. And that was incredible. Students stormed the court, first time I've ever seen that. It was the first time Marquette had ever beaten the number one team in the country during the regular season. They'd done it once before in the tournament. And it was a Tuesday night, and I was exhausted at my 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, I will tell you that. I was sitting next to my assistant sports editor who was covering it with me the next morning, and we just looked at each other, and we knew it was a long night. So people were super excited. I mean, it was a very lively campus for it being a Tuesday after that game. And it was also cool because I got everybody together after the game back at our offices, and just to put out the whole plan of coverage for that night. We got two photo galleries out. We got multiple stories, multiple videos. That was just an amazing night. It's something I'm never going to forget.
So, what is the feeling when you're covering this and also being obviously not a homer but a big Marquette fan? How does it I guess you were talking to Wojciechowski at post game. Did you get first questions? Has it been student paper what's that scene the huddle around the coach after the game?
Well, with your first question, it's really tough being a student reporter, and I'm sure everyone kind of deals with this. And there is an idea going in from the audience that you're probably less you're less objective than a professional writer. Like for me now, I'm covering teams that. It's a little different with the Bandits because I did grow up going to Bandits games. So, there is obviously still somewhat of a connection there, but you try to stay as unbiased as possible. But you root for all the teams you cover when you're a college reporter. You go to the school. And I think everybody knows that. So I tried to stay professional, but you know that people understand that you're excited that your school is doing well. It's a very professional setting for – they treat basketball very seriously, and the basketball team plays at the BMO Harris Bradley Center where the Bucks play. So yeah. you've got an 18,000-seat arena. For Big East games, it's usually most of the way full, and for the big, the big non-conference games as well. And the first question usually went to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So they had a full-time reporter at the Journal Sentinel, and we had multiple people there for student media. And there are a few radio stations that covered, and a few pretty prominent Marquette blogs. So it's a pretty decent media contingent for being at a college level and not one of the blue bloods that people would necessarily think of immediately. But Big East basketball is a lot of fun. I mean, it felt real big time, and it really trained me for jumping to the professional level.
So were you there for the 2013 run, or I guess you were too young, or was that before your freshman year?
Yeah, it was the year before I got there.
Oh, okay. Must have been very, just coming off that season, in the Final Four in 2003. Yeah, Marquette's has a pretty good success as a basketball program the last decade and a half.
Yeah, it's frustrating, though, because I didn't know I was going to Marquette yet when they make that run to the Elite Eight the year before I get there. So I don't really get to enjoy that. And then I show up, and when I got there, they had made the NCAA tournament for 8 straight years. And, I'd just come off an Elite Eight run. And, of course, I show up. And when I got there, at the beginning of that season, my freshman year, they were ranked. And they didn't end up even making the NIT. It was just a disastrous season. They missed the NCAA tournament for 3 straight years. Buzz Williams leaves and goes to Virginia Tech. And they hire Wojciechowski. And it's looking like my senior year, I'm not going to see a tournament again. It would have been just heartbreaking for me going to a basketball school. Part of the reason I wanted to go there is I knew I wanted to cover sports, so I wanted to go to a school with big sports. And I see the schools, they go to the tournament every year. It'd be really fun to cover. And it was looking like I wasn't going to get a single NCAA tournament, but they had a few upsets at the end of that season, my senior year, including that Villanova win. They beat Creighton twice. They beat Xavier at home, and they made their way to the NCAA tournament. And I covered that game. It was in South Carolina against South Carolina, which was interesting. We drove all the way from Wisconsin to South Carolina. So we didn't have the budget to fly, and because it was in Greenville, South Carolina. Flying from Milwaukee to Greenville isn't exactly cheap. So we rented a car and drove all the way down there, which was cool. Stuff that, all those memories covering Marquette basketball and Marquette lacrosse, really, I hold them very dearly.
I was just going to say, that would have been cruel for a team to go to the tournament, I guess, 7 straight years and then a 4-year gap where you were there and they don't go to the tournament. So yeah. Happy you got in there 2017. So, yeah, speaking of the lacrosse team, so, how did you get into covering the sport? Was there whispers around campus when it was happening? I know the announcement came several years before the team actually got there, so you may not even have been on campus. But, what was the buzz like, once the announcement came in there that first year?
Yeah, it's a little bit before me because they would have made the announcement that they were going – they were starting a D1 program, I want to say 2 years before I got there.
Yeah, and says Wiki, at least Wiki says 2010, so at least several years before you got there.
Yeah, and then they went through their practice season, and I, to be honest with you, didn't follow them too closely my freshman year because they weren't really relevant at all yet. I was aware of what they were doing, but I was also just kind of getting accustomed to the school, trying to make friends, trying to find my place there. So I didn't really go to any of, and also at that time, the lacrosse games were not on campus, which made it very difficult. They were out at Hart Park, which is in a suburb of Milwaukee called Wauwatosa, which is close, but you had to take a bus there, and they bus students through the school, but it made it a little distant from the rest of the campus. The lacrosse team, I don't think, really felt a part of campus until they got to the point where they were playing at Valley Fields, which is just pretty much on campus. You walk a block down from any other buildings. So early on, I think there wasn't a ton of buzz. You started to feel it a little more when they started to have success. And everyone knew that I was a big lacrosse guy. I mean, I'd covered one game as a freshman because our regular reporter, Drew Dawson, who actually did some stuff for Inside Lacrosse too, got sick. So I covered... I want to say I covered Georgetown, Marquette Georgetown, my freshman year, which was my first opportunity. And everyone knew I was a big lacrosse guy. So when Drew moved to the news side my sophomore year, I was the obvious choice to become the new Marquette lacrosse beat reporter. I made it very clear that it would be kind of silly to not make me it because I actually knew what I was talking about and not many people in Milwaukee. Not many people going to Marquette really did. So I was ended up being the beat reporter the rest of the way, but 3 years until I graduated last May. So I really saw the emergence of the program from that first year, really starting to get on the scene early in that season. But they beat Lehigh and they beat Hofstra when both of them were ranked, and they end up falling short in that first season I covered them. But I could tell from then on, okay, even if they didn't make the tournament that year, this program, they're doing something here. It's definitely moving in the right direction.
It's a real Wally Pipp, Lou Gehrig situation there, with you taking over the lacrosse team. So, like, when did you what did you like start to foresee like a tournament bid? I guess that first year, did you think like this team could make the tournament by the time you graduated? Like, I mean, that for such a young program, they've had a meteoric rise in success.
Yeah, I was really optimistic that first year I covered them because of those early wins. And you know, I've been told that they really were they would have made the tournament if it weren't for one loss. And they lost to Bellarmine that year, which happened again this season. I don't really know what's up with Marquette and Bellarmine. But they lost them at home. I want to say it was 7-2. It was just like a horrible game. And that really sunk their season. But I looked at it, you know, objectively, and I looked at their resume, and I said, well, if it weren't for that, they really had a shot. So you figure they're pretty much returning the same team next year, and they'll probably have a pretty good look at this. And then, you know, that first year, I think, it's the most special year. It's the first time they made the tournament, and going on that run, beating Denver in the final. Just an incredible group. The players that built that program really were on that team, and most of them are playing the NLL now, and Liam Burns, Jake Richard, BJ Grill. Those were the guys who really set the foundation, and it was really cool to see them go out on that high note. Even though the last game, obviously, it's, you know, disappointing to lose in the tournament, but just to even get there was just incredible for that program. And I think it set them apart from all these other startup programs. I mean, people will, the other schools that Marquette gets lumped in with, you know, schools like BU or Michigan, Marquette's the only one who's done anything yet. And the other schools are still trying to get to that point. And it's really difficult to get to that point. So what they've been able to do at Marquette, what Ample has been able to do, is incredibly impressive. And I think it's solidified him as one of the best coaches in college lacrosse right now. It's the reason why every time one of these big job openings comes up, he's always tied to it.
Yeah, I mean, the two summers ago, it was like the Amplo showcase. Like, everybody wanted to talk to him. Like, so with the added, because I've always felt like, you know, if you want people to come to your games, you got to win. And yeah. Like, did the recognition on campus match? You know, as the team became more successful, did they start to become, like, you know, obviously, I assume the Marquette basketball team is still number one team on campus, but there's no football team at Marquette. Like, I could see the lacrosse team, you know, kind of filling in that number two void.
Yeah, I definitely can see that, because it's such a easy spectator sport. You compare it to like its competition at Marquette, and it's soccer and volleyball. But they're at different times, you know, soccer in the fall and volleyball in the winter. So you're getting a different kind of market. There's nothing else happening on Marquette's campus right now, sports-wise. The only other spring sports are not spectator. They're track and field and tennis. Like, you're not going to go watch that. So there's a real opportunity for the lacrosse team to solidify themselves as the number two spot on campus. You have seen the interest increase, I think. The only tough thing with the way Marquette's set up and where it is and how the lacrosse season works is that a lot of these games have to be played in that dome, you know, the regional dome, which is great because they can host games early and it's not freezing. Like, you get teams to actually come out there, but it's really limited in space. So those games, you can only really seat 200 people inside that dome. It's a couple layered bleachers that are like four or five rows along the whole sideline. When they are able to play when it's nice out and they play in the main facility that the soccer team plays all their games in, that's a lot better feel. It's where they play the NCAA tournament game. It's where they played, I don't know if you remember last year, the horribly shot CBS Sports Marquette Denver game, where it was like raining the whole time. You couldn't see anything.
It was TV. like Yeah, the camera was like all wet.
Yeah, the camera was all wet. It was a disaster. You couldn't watch the game. But they get good crowds there, especially when it's nice out. I remember the St. John's game last year was very nice out, and I looked around and I said, well, this isn't just parents anymore. There are some students out here, which is cool to see. I think that it fits the demographics of the school really well. So I just see it as just an easy fit going forward, where I could see Marquette, you know, to go with our ongoing joke of Marquette is a lacrosse school. I could definitely see that happening.
I remember, it was 2016, I was just home for the weekend, and you guys were playing Georgetown, and it was on Fox Sports 1. And my mom just, like, she doesn't really care, but she, like, just all of a sudden just, like, really like a team, and she was just, like, all about Marquette. But she just loved the jerseys, and I think, like, it was a really nice day, you know, late March. And that's what I was going to say when you were saying, like, you know, a little bit difficult with limited seating and the indoor. But when it does get nice outside, I can see, is it Valleys, Valley Field? I can see that being, like, a really great place for a game, I'm sure Wisconsin is really beautiful in the spring.
Yeah, it is. It's just a matter of getting there. Right? It's the same way here in Buffalo. It's like it was snowing last week. Like, it's so tough with up north and just dealing with lacrosse, just dealing with the weather, and it's not only just for the players, but you know it's tough to get fans out there. They're not going to go sit in the cold. So, but yeah, when it's nice out, Valley's great. I spent a lot of time there. Because I covered the soccer team, too, for 3 years. So in the fall, I was there a lot. And in the spring, it was nice to actually be able to cover games there and not have to bus out to Hart Park like I did my sophomore year, my first year covering.
So move the conversation back over to Buffalo. So you graduated Marquette. You work for the Buffalo News, but like how'd you got your job or stuff like that? Like, you do an internship there before working there, or like for any of our young reporters out there looking to be the next Jack Goods, I want to help them give them a blueprint.
Yeah, I interned the summer before I graduated. I interned there, which was great, a really awesome experience. And then when I was looking for jobs, I kind of took the summer off. You know, people have this idea of like spending their gap year in Europe or something. I just wanted my summer in Milwaukee before I knew I'd be working every summer for the rest of my life. So I kind of did that, and then when I moved back here, once my lease ran out, I really started looking for jobs. And I got back in contact with people at the news, and they said there was kind of an opportunity to work. I'm just on somewhat of a part-time basis now. But there, it's still 6 days or 5 days a week, just not, the benefits aren't all there, and I'm not, salary like some of the people who have been there for longer. But for me, it was a great opportunity. I've been able to cover the Bills. I've done a little bit of Sabres, not as much. Mostly I covered the World Junior Championships when they were here, and then Bandits is one of my primary things, and a lot of college basketball, college football. So for me, it's a great opportunity because I'm working at a paper that I grew up reading that is big time, covers lots of sports, and I'm the smallest things I'm covering are the Bandits, which I love. It's a big passion of mine, and Division I basketball. It's not the highest level, but teams here were pretty good this year. It was the best year in local Buffalo college basketball in decades, possibly ever, with how good University of Buffalo was. Obviously, people know about them now with their upset of Arizona in the tournament. But St. Bonaventure was very good this year, and even Canisius and Niagara were really solid. So it's been really great. I've really loved it. Just working for the news and being able to be in one of the two cities that I'd be super comfortable in having lived in before, I really couldn't have asked for a better. It's about 7 or 8 months now.
Well, it's going to be a nice little hotbed over there in Western New York. Canisius, Hobart, maybe Cornell, a little bit too far from Buffalo, but St. Bonaventure is going to get their team started up. So it's kind of a good time to have a lacrosse pro on staff. So
yeah. Speaking of good times, would this be a good time for me to take my second dog break?
Oh no, we always take break for Ollie. So
okay.
And like I always say, Jack, we can always take an Ollie break, so no worries at all about that. So
it was very necessary. He was very muddy. That was an adventure.
So we were talking about the bandits, and you were getting about we were also talking about at the beginning of the show, like the local love for the bandits. And I've noticed with the attendance figures are very high, and given that it's a football city, like you know, it's like perfect timing. You know, football season ends, you go right into bandit season.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it's a huge hockey city, so I think there's that connection between hockey and box lacrosse. You can really mark them together. They're so similar in style of play. I mean, I always describe box lacrosse as really a mix between regular lacrosse, basketball, and hockey. And I think that the fact that the Bandits are owned by the Sabres has really helped them in being able to cross market. They've been doing well ever since I've been, you know, really around, ever since I've been following them. They have a couple bad years, I think in the early 2000s, interest-wise, but I've been around since, you know, around the Bandits in some form or another since 06, and they've consistently done well, you know, done over the league average for sure. And even now, and it seems like the NLL is going in the right direction, but the attention.
Did you go to the 2008 championship series? Any of those games?
Yes. Yeah, I was back in 08. They didn't do it. It wasn't a series back then.
Oh, okay.
It was just the one game.
Just one game off?
Yeah, so I was at the I've been at three NLL championship games.
Oh, wow.
So in 06, the Bandits lost to Colorado, and I was there, and I would have been 11. And I was there in 08 when they beat the Portland Lumberjacks. And then I was also there 2 years ago when they played Saskatchewan. It was the game one of that three-game series, ended up only going two games. So, yeah, and those games, most of the time, I mean, at least for 08, I don't really remember much for 06, that they sell out, which is awesome. You get 17,000 people there for those games. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like, those are phenomenal numbers for like professional lacrosse. Like,
yeah,
like college, you can get, I can imagine 14, 15,000. Like Maryland got that last year for the Hopkins game. But like for a professional lacrosse game, like those are pretty big numbers. So.
Yeah, to not have that built in like loyalty from having gone to the school. I've always said if you could get like the MLL's sponsorships and the NLL's attendance figures, you'd be doing really well with a professional lacrosse league.
Yeah.
It's just the pieces haven't all been there for either of them, it seems.
So I'm going to move on to like a little rapid fire questions. So like you can obviously take your time to answer, but they're just like kind of just like more fun stuff we'll close up on. So since it's beautiful in Western New York and the summer and you know, a lot of people like to ski, are you a ski season guy or are you a summer season guy for Western New York?
I do ski, but I hadn't skied as in a couple of years until I skied this year again because I was, you know, at school. There aren't many mountains or hills in the Midwest to ski on. I mean, I prefer the summer, but I don't hate the winter, especially now that it's I don't have to walk around in it on campus anymore. I do have to drive. It's a trade-off. But, yeah, I'd say probably summer.
Okay, so favorite Great Lake?
Oh, well, I mean, I've lived on two of them. I'm going to have to go with Lake Erie because it's much warmer. You can actually swim in it. Lake Michigan sucks. It's just so cold.
Okay, so best place to eat in Buffalo? And this is kind of a two-part question, but first part, best place to eat in Buffalo?
Oh, that's really tough. See, I'm a weird eater. Well, one, I'm a vegetarian, so
that's fine. You know.
Yeah, so I'm
pescatarian. Do you even fish or no?
Not, I don't. Not, I don't eat fish. No.
No. Respect.
Yeah. So I have a really hard time giving people food advice. A lot of people would probably say one of like the wing places here. What's my favorite place? I don't know. I mean, fast food. Mighty Taco is really good. Restaurant wise, I really like Pano's, which is on down on like the hipster street of Buffalo and on the Elmwood. So I'll go with that.
Okay, so like, how long have you been a vegetarian?
I started when I was like five, so
Wow, okay.
It's been a really, really long time.
No, because my next question was going to ask, where's your favorite buffalo wing? So I thought maybe you had a spot before you jumped over. But okay. Well, where's your dad's favorite buffalo wing? Because he seems like a real lacrosse guy, so we'll trust his opinion.
I really don't know which one's his favorite. I can tell you the general consensus for people. They're like the three main ones. Well, the two main ones that people all hear about, which is Duff's and Anchor Bar.
Okay. I think that was going to be my trivia question. I was like, which Buffalo Bar invented it? Which was the Anchor Bar, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
This again.
I'm still kind of a wing snob, even though I don't eat them. Like when I was in Wisconsin, I was like, oh, you guys don't know wings. But I don't know wings either.
Get this trash away from me. I don't even want to smell it.
The one that people who are like from here actually say is like the best wings is a place called Barville that people really like. But if you're watching like a Bills game and they're showing somebody making wings on the like the bumps in and out of the game, that it's probably Anchor Bar Duff's.
It's like that's their go-to thing. Like in Philly, it's just let's go to the cheesesteak roll. You know, it's like, all right, dude, like we've seen it.
The worst is, I mean, the wing one they use a lot, but the worst is Niagara Falls, because Niagara Falls isn't in Buffalo. It's and especially not close to Orchard Park where the Bills play. I mean, it's close enough that I could go there right now if I really wanted to and it not be a big trip. It's like 20 minutes, but it's not in Buffalo. There are a lot of nice places in Buffalo you can show, but they always show Niagara Falls.
Jack, you're kind of bombing my rapid fire, because I was literally, my next question was like, tell our readers why they should visit the Niagara Falls.
Well, Niagara Falls is really cool. We lose track of how fantastic it is living here. So you just kind of go whenever you want. But every once in a while, I'm like, oh, let's just go up to Niagara Falls and just look at it, because it is beautiful. It's a great spot. And if you're going to go there, though, go to Niagara Falls, Canada. Don't go to Niagara Falls, New York. The Canadian side is much better, and it's a better view of the falls.
Okay, yeah, we're about to get into some Canadian-related questions. I was going to ask you, have you ever seen it frozen?
Have I ever seen Niagara Falls frozen? I don't think so.
Okay.
I've seen it in the winter, but it wasn't frozen.
Oh, okay. Okay, so next question. Your favorite Buffalo icon, or your favorite most your favorite famous Buffalo resident or person who grew up in Buffalo or from Buffalo?
Can it be someone? Well, because
you guys are big in business. I thought maybe we're going to go with the General Mills guys, because that's I was looking at a little bit of Buffalo history on Wikipedia.
My favorite Buffalo icon. I mean, our icons are mostly athletic. You know, athletic base, and they're not like people from there. Like,
if you want to say Jim Kelly, I'm more than fine with that. Yeah.
John Tavares was the first name that jumped to me.
Okay.
To keep it lacrosse themed, I loved John Tavares growing up. I mean, he was one of my favorite players, and just meant so much for the Bandits. I mean, none of the franchises here. Maybe the closest thing would be, you know, so every franchise has like their one guy. You know, for the Bills, it was probably Jim Kelly. For the Sabres, Gilbert Perreault. But with Tavares, you know, the Bandits have never played a season where Tavares wasn't employed by the team. He's still an assistant coach, and he has been since he retired. So to play over 20 years and now still be an assistant coach, just I don't think you're going to see anything like that in Buffalo sports before or ever again.
Yeah. Okay, it's next one. Sabres or Bills?
Well, I have to be, like, I professionally cover the Bills now. So it's a weird spot with me. I mean, from growing up, I was always more on Sabres was always more interesting to me. I think it's just because they played more, and I felt like I knew the players better because I had that familiarity with them. It's like when I watch baseball. It's like I really know the baseball players because I watch them every single day. So Sabres for me growing up, that was always the number one.
Okay. I was going to say, if you were a Bills fan at all, like, favorite player from the Bills years, those Marvelly years.
Yeah. The thing is, I wasn't really...
You weren't
I
was even born.
Some of them,
Jesus.
But
wow.
I was born in 95, so, like, I don't remember any of that. Them making the playoffs this year was the first time I've ever really
ever experienced the playoffs? Wow. Yeah. Shout out to Sean McCoy. Okay. last question. Milwaukee food or Buffalo food? What did you like better?
Milwaukee food for me, because, you know, here it's all wings, but in Milwaukee it's all cheese, and I actually eat cheese. So that the mac and cheese in Milwaukee is the best. If you want me to shout out Milwaukee places that I really like, that might be easier actually than Buffalo places.
I was going to do / Buffalo Canada stuff at the end. So please, that was going to be the next one. Favorite spot in Milwaukee.
So Benelux downtown is awesome. Great mac and cheese, really good beer. I also like Milwaukee Ale House a lot. And Mexican, they've got a really great Mexican place called Bel Air, where there are a few of those, which was open late and a frequent post-game stop. Well, when I worked for the Milwaukee Bucks, so the friends of mine and I would often go there after the game. Those are probably my big three there.
Okay, last question. So our last section, kind of Canada section. Being in Buffalo and Milwaukee, both kind of close to Canadian border, like, do you have a story about Canada, like a Canadian trip, or have you not gone over the border? I always kind of assume anyone that's close goes up there. Like, I went to Montreal a couple of times, and I assumed I'd go up there all the time if I lived there, you know, like Buffalo or Syracuse area.
Well, growing up, I spent my whole summers in Canada.
Oh, wow.
We had a cottage up in Fort Erie. It's like people think, well, it's cold here, but it's nice in the summer. And this is also the furthest south part of Canada. So a lot of people end up, you know, vacationing kind of near here, especially with Toronto, you know, so much of the Canadian population being in Toronto. So, yeah, I was a member of the Buffalo Canoe Club, which is a beach club up in Canada. I love it there. It's great. It's beautiful. Buffalo is one of those few places where you can very easily go to the beach and it'd be like, it's like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour, and also ski. Like, there's just, it's a very versatile city. I think that people look at it and think it's all cold, it's a snowy place, but we have four seasons, and then the summer season here is pretty nice.
No, I mean, I know it's not that close, but I've been up to Saranac Lake a couple times when I was younger, and as I know, that's more like central north New York, but it's just like really nice. It's really nice area. And I took a train ride last time I went to Montreal. I took the train like from the city to Montreal straight, and it was actually just gorgeous. Like, just look at all that. So that's the Peace Bridge, right? For you and okay.
So, yeah, there are a couple bridges. Peace Bridge is probably the easiest, but depending on where I'm going, like sometimes I'll go Lewiston, Queenston if I'm going up through. Like sometimes I might go up to Toronto. I went up to Toronto earlier this year, covered a Bandits Rock game up there at the Air Canada Centre, which is my first time there in the building. I've been to Toronto a handful of times. It's an easy drive. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then
really?
I also
– That's awesome.
Super close. And I also covered up in Canada a little before that too. I want to say that was before that. To kind of prepare for the World Junior Tournament, they had a bunch of the Canadian – like preseason camp for that was up in St. Catharines. So I was up there a couple times for that as well.
No, that's awesome. I did not know all that about Canada. So it's good. All right, Jack, this is a great episode. I hope you had some fun. I learned a lot. That's pretty cool. So hope readers enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I'm glad that, you know, people can learn a little bit more about me. I'm not just the name on the picks every week. I'm glad that I'm at least making a good – I feel like I'm making a good first impression this year. I was not one of the first two people eliminated.
That was the key. That's the key. Just not be the first one. And I really want – I mean, that Jim loss, which was, you know, great. Not great, but, like, unfortunate. But I would have really loved if Chris was the only one eliminated this year. It would have just been so funny. Like, like, everybody goes down and his column stopped, like, weeks before.
I thought, I was like, it's going to be so easy to get through the non-conference because there are so many games you just know who's going to win. But, of course, he picks the one upset that actually happens.
Exactly. Anyway, thanks again for joining us, everyone. We're going to have another one soon with Marissa, try to get Caroline, and then like Dan and Skylar as well. But, Jack, thanks so much for joining us. You can find Jack. You want to give out your Twitter handle? Just so everyone can...
At Goods on Sports.
Excellent.
That's the easiest way. You find my work at Buffalo News, pretty much primarily where it's at. And see my poll every week that I feel like I'm doing a decent job at, but you guys, what I always feel like I go in the group chat and I'm like, well, I don't know as much as these people do about college lacrosse, but you know, I'm following, so I feel like I'm informed enough.
You know what? Just don't let them bully you, because that's what they do, Jack. All they get you the DMs, and then they just swarm, and it's just like, okay, you put Yale at like 12, and next thing you know, you're like, there's a coup of being planned like right in front of you.
Yeah, well, it's been great. I've really enjoyed doing it because it's forced me to pay attention to everything. You know, and covering Marquette, I really was only paying attention to Marquette and the Big East team. So now I have to, at least. I'm checking the scoreboards all the time now, watching any game that I can when I've got free time. So I can't really complain about something that's making me watch more lacrosse.
No, that's kind of what the fun part about college lacrosse is. Like, I don't know how big of a Game of Thrones fans you are, but like it does remind me. Oh, good. Oh, yeah. It does remind me, like, the teams do remind you, like these grand houses, you know? Yeah. And so it's just, like, that's kind of, you know, football had that for a long time. It's a little bit different now with everybody's in different conferences and stuff. But, like, you know, like, it's kind of, that's what makes it cool to follow the sport. So, anyway. Yeah. But, yo, Jack, thanks so much for joining. I really had a great time. So, we'll try to get this up tomorrow or, you know, Thursday morning. But it should be a good episode.
Awesome.
All right, take care, everyone.